This Pete and Kimber podcast is just a little taste of the show. Get a taste of life at Murdoch at Murdoch University's Open Day, Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tour the campus and find the course you're passionate about.
Pete and Kimber for breakfast.
On Mix.
Guy Sebastian alongside Sam Fisher. Antidote is the new single. Phones out, torches on. 60,000 people off the stadium. Let's go. Waving your hands. Guy Sebastian joins us now. Good morning to you, mate. Congrats, another single on the way.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it feels good to get this one out, that's for sure.
Well, and it's like sounds like a cast of thousands as well. Did you get a lot people in here to do all the backing vocals?
It pretty much is. I mean, if you could see how I'm sitting in my studio at the moment where I wrote this song, if I showed you the Ableton and the Logic session for this song, there are hundreds and hundreds of tracks of just vocals, drums, layers of guitar. And I don't know, this one, I've never spent so long on a song in my life. Like there's some songs, like my last single was a song called I Chose Good. We did that in one day, wrote it, tracked everything, vocals, everything were done in one day. And then this song I wrote with Sam. He came over and it was the first time we'd met and I'd wanted to meet him because I've been a big Sam Fisher fan. And then he came over and I had this idea. I had this idea after my drummer's wedding. He said this line in his wedding speech. He said, "Oh, you're the antidote to all my problems." And I went home, I wrote this little chorus and Sam came in, I played it for him. We wrote the verse, chorus, and then we had a few drinks and the session was over because we were just eating and drinking. And then he came after he left back to the US, we kept texting each other. We're like, dude, this song is sick. Like we need to finish it. This is really good. And I kept working on it here. And then he came back to Australia and we wrote the bridge. I was downstairs by the piano and started playing these chords. And then the bridge came out and we were like, oh my God, that is literally the icing. That is what the song needed. And then I just kept painting over it, this song. It's weird. Like I'd sort of go in, paint a few brush strokes on it. But it wasn't until I reckon I was in LA and I got a bunch of my favorite gospel singers in the room. You know, these guys sing for, like the one's a background vocalist for Bieber. The other one sings for Beyonce. The other one sings for Ariana Grande. Like they're just incredible singers. When I heard them come together, you know, I'm singing parts at them or harmonies and I'm singing, you know, can we get this part? And as it started to come together, I got so emotional. It was like just ridiculous wall of sound. And I don't know. I feel like this, I'm going to say this is probably my favorite song I've ever done. Just because I just never get tired of listening to it. And I feel the same things when I listen to it.
That's awesome. And the thing is, like, we love hearing artists when they've got that level of passion for their work. But I'd be lying if I said I'm not interested in finding out, like, when Sam Fisher comes around your house and you say, "I come around my house for the first time," what are you offering up? Are you going, "Oh, I've got some Tim Tams here," or "there's some old cheese in the fridge"? Like, what are you getting out?
You know what's funny? People love writing at the house because of one reason. I mean, the studio's here and it's convenient having it here. Above the studio is a bar.
Oh.
Upstairs, we go up there to write lyrics, and by the time we come back into the studio, often now I've got a lot of scotch up there. By the time we get down, the song's generally over, so I try and not go to the bar mid session. But more than that, Jules is always like cooking and stuff, and it always happens to coincide on days she's like shooting stuff, like for her Instagram and stuff. Like she's always shooting these amazing meals that she's making. So we're in the studio working, we start getting this waft of amazing food coming through the studio doors. And so Sam loves it. Ned, all my mates that I write with, they all love coming over because Jules just ends up bringing up whatever she's cooked for her Instagram. And then it comes up, we just smash it.
Now, mate, very early on in this chat, which we haven't aired in this part here, we were talking about the fact that you like keeping fast and loose when it comes to interviews because, let's be honest, you've been doing the circuit now for the better part of 140 years. And so, like, we've chatted plenty of times and it's always the same thing. Tell us a bit about your song. Have you been to Perth lately? What's the latest show you're going to be a judge on? So on and so forth. So we've got a game to play you. It's called Question Swap. Are you down, without knowing too much about it, to play a game of Question Swap with us?
I'm down. Down for whatever.
Now, I need to just preface this, right? Because you say you're down with whatever. I need to tell you something. The last time we did this, we did it with Nat and Shervo from Channel 7. And it made the Daily Mail. It made headlines around the world. Like, there was some real greasy stuff in this question shot. We've got a bit of audio here. Take a listen.
Fire, shag, or marry?
Oh. Oh,
I like this.
Beretta, Koshy, and Shervo.
No. Oh, no.
Fire, shag, or marry? Beretta, Koshy, Shervo. No, come on, Nat.
I plead the fifth.
Stitch up, man.
No, I can't.
I don't know which one she's shagging between Koshy and Barrett.
So are you still game?
I want to know the answer. How can you play that and not tell me? Did she answer it?
Yeah, it was.
Or was she Switzerland?
No, it was Koshy.
Koshy to shag?
No, she wouldn't answer.
She was very much Switzerland, and I think she might have followed up with, I'm a good Catholic girl.
That's right.
I do think we all know the answer to the shag one. I mean, Jules, I know my own wife. I know what she would answer. Shervo, he's a good-looking rooster.
She's seen the video of him running the 100, hasn't she? Go on.
Well, I don't think anyone hasn't. You know, he's a very athletic human being.
It was a great Australian race.
All right. Well, you haven't left us yet.
Yeah. Try this.
Pete and Kimber's Question Swap.
That's right, Question Swap. Now, the way this works, Guy, is that we've interviewed you many times and we're like, have we run out of things to ask Guy? And we're like, maybe. So what we do is Pete and I write questions for each other to ask you and we haven't seen them.
Oh, no. Okay. And and you're trying to put each other in the most awkward spot.
Maybe. We don't know.
Is all right.
It's not like we're setting out to do that. Maybe some of us are. We're not sure.
This sounds like a maths challenge.
Well, okay. I'm going first. Question number one. I can't see the second one yet.
So I've written these questions for Kimber.
Okay.
Oh, no. That's not a good start.
Guy Sebastian, when you made the incredible decision to shave the afro, did you shave every afro on your body? I'm sorry.
There was no manscaping that happened. It was just, yeah, it's just the, up the top.
The manscaping wasn't going to stop you getting an album deal.
No. Yeah. I unless I was getting it out, which was never on the cards, really. So if it was, I probably would have. So, but, you know.
Okay,
at
great.
That point, maybe I would have done anything to, you know, flog my albums off. But thank God I had some integrity.
But now you're just prepared to do this with us instead. Okay. I've got I've got the next question, okay? Okay, here we go. Fire, shag, or marry? Shannon Knoll, Mark Holden, your wife, Jules.
Oh, geez. All right. I'd fire Mark Holden. I'd still marry Jules, which means Shannon's getting it.
The way you delivered that too, he's getting it.
And I think I'd be getting, have you seen Shannon lately? I don't think I would dominate Shannon too much in that sort of arena. He's a big fella at the moment. He's been properly pushing some tin lately.
Has he really?
Have you seen? Look, Google Shannon. Mate, he's ripped. He's like shredded.
Okay. That's a good thing to know. So you're on the right track. So there you go, Shannon Knoll. And we got an answer, which is really nice.
And Jules is thrilled as well.
I didn't plead the fifth. Yep, Jules has lost nothing.
All right. It's my turn. I got to read you the questions that Kimber has given me.
Oh, I reckon this is an easy one, this one.
Okay.
I reckon this is easy. You're Australia's nice guy in the music industry. What's the most diva behaviour you exhibit that everyone is keeping secret to protect your image?
Bit of maybe road rage.
Do you?
when someone is just so inconsiderate. Like, I'll let someone in, I'll let people in, and then you've let three people in and you go, and then you need to get a turn off and someone won't let you in, and you sum up humanity in that one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very patient person in normal life. Very patient, I would say. Not on the road.
Yeah. I'm going to say the front cover of New Idea one day with your fist through a window. No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to do it. It's the question.
Maybe I underestimated you.
You have to do it. It's the question, and this is question swap.
I can't ask him this.
I'm doing it.
Hey. This is challenge week. Let's do it.
This is foul. This is absolutely foul, even by my standards.
Oh, Guy didn't see it coming either.
Nothing you say can shock me, I guarantee you.
You won the first ever season of Australian Idol. Do you feel bad knowing that the legendary Shannon Knoll should have won and the vote was rigged? I feel sick. I feel sick.
Oh, my God.
Saying
wow.
to this guy.
Well,
I
take it back. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that came out of your mouth.
I don't even mean it, but I just really wanted to hear Pete do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Guys, I think we're done here.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Gosh, he's done all these radio shows in the country, and we did shock him.
My first walkout.
Yeah.
My first walkout.
He's
do
off
it really dramatically. Make lots of noise.
Yeah. Get us on the front cover of Daily Mail.
Yeah. That, I mean, there's a line you guys have crossed it. I think we're done here.
Okay.
We're done.
That's right. Oh, no, he's off to go punch a cat. Oh, he's actually gone. He's left.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That
see,
was pretty
see
good. That was pretty good.
See the acting that came out? You know why the acting was so good just then? I've just done my first film.
What?
In a lead role. I just did my first acting gig.
What film?
I was in a Bollywood movie.
No.
Are we going to get to see it?
Yeah, it'll be out, I think, June, July or something. I started out just writing music for it, and I'm the singing voice of the protagonist who's seven. He's my son in the movie. He's 17. His name's Kabir, and I'm his singing voice. That's how it initially started, me writing some songs for the film and just doing some music for it. And then they cast me in the role to play his dad. I'm sort of an alcoholic mess of a father that's trying to kind of redeem himself. He's never really gotten over the grief of losing his wife and who's Kabir's mum. And it's sort of a bit of a redemption attempt by the father to connect with his son. But it's centered around Kabir. Like it's a beautiful film. You know, those Bollywood storylines are always so emotionally charged, and you know, there's such light and shade between the feels and the feel goods. And I don't know. I really enjoyed doing it. But I had to grow a beard because I play his dad, and you know, grew this bushy sort of beard, and I had to do it in an accent. Like I had to do it in an actual Indian accent.
Oh my God! Does that get
was
you
really
cancelled?
No, I'm Indian. My mum's from India.
Oh, that's okay.
So it's, I can definitely, I mean, literally all I was trying to speak like was my mum. And so it's, yeah, I grew up watching Bollywood movies and, you know, I've obviously got a lot of Indian family. My mum, it's weird because my mum's white with blue eyes. So she's Anglo-Indian. You might not guess that she's Indian by looking at her until you hear her speak. And then, hang on, sorry. So did this movie. My mum thought I was joking. It took like three phone calls. And by the third one, I'm like, Mum, I'm actually not. She's like, Guy, you're joking. There's Norway. You're doing a Bollywood movie. It's like a dream for me to do, you know, something like that. And so it wasn't until I sung her this song where it's like I had to do a demo for this song. And it's called Phoenix, and the chorus is like Takadiro se badke amano se badke tu jeetega sari baziya. And so I started singing this Hindi song to her. She got it. She was like, oh my God, you're not joking, you're actually doing this. And then I told her, you know, that there's these certain actresses in it, and there's these people who have done like 120 Bollywood films, like some really big name actors and stuff. And yeah, it came out great, but it was really hard. It was like really challenging, just the acting part, because I really wanted to nail it. I put heaps into it, and you know, I sort of got a real appreciation. You know, when you see actors blow up and stuff because, you know, like Christian Bale when he blew up on set, I got it. It was really hard to be James because I really invented a world around this character. I really believed I was him, like, because I created this, like, backstory for him. Like, I would imagine what it was like to lose Jules and how I'd react. And then Kabir, I'm just seeing my son. Like, I'm looking at him like he's my son. And I would get so emotional and so invested. But then someone would, like, ask me about my Memphis album, or someone, the owner of the restaurant, would come out and do a photo and then, like, literally ask me questions for ages. And then some guy from the Indian consulate got me to pose mid-scene with a mug. Like, and I had to, I'm standing outside with this mug, but I kept having to be like me, like Guy Sebastian, and answer these questions in an Aussie accent, and then flick back to James, then be, you know, back in this guy who has this accent and has this history.
Mate,
it was doing my head in.
Don't want to go like over the fact that this is a big deal and very much looking forward to this, because Bollywood movies are great. But every time you throw the Indian accent on, because at the moment our producers in their producer's booth can hear this entire recording. Every time you throw the Indian accent, the place goes wild.
it's very good. It's very good.
Well, it had to be done because my son was using an accent coach and he was meant to have an Aussie accent, but I was like, guys, we need to rewrite this script a bit because he's not going to, I'm telling you now, he won't nail the Aussie accent. Yeah. If he's grown up here since one, in his character, he's got to talk Aussie, and I can't talk Aussie like I'd normally do and have my son instill this goody meat kind of accent,
So
we sort of just called it and changed the narrative a bit that we'd moved around quite a bit since he was young, and so I had to speak in an accent so that it gave context to him.
It was killer.
I can't wait for it to come out. It was really, really good. I put a lot into it.
Well, we look forward to that. We don't have to look forward to Antidote because it's out now. Guy Sebastian, thanks for joining us,
thank
mate.
You.
And thanks for playing along.
And Guy, I want to say,
accent. There's no accent in Antidote. That's maybe I'll do a you turn the weight off my shoulder. I'll do like an Indian version of it.
Guy, I want to say I'm sorry about that question, and I didn't mean it. But when you are shagging Shannon Knoll, you can just whisper in his ear, "I beat you."
Oh yes. Oh my gosh, we went there. I'm a very visual person.
We'll leave you to that because we know you got another interview on the way. So
having lunch before, but that's been wrecked now. Lunch is spoiled.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.
See you, brother. Thanks. Good to catch up again.
This Pete and Kimber podcast is just a little taste of the show. Get a taste of life at Murdoch at Murdoch University's Open Day, Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tour the campus and find the course you're passionate about.